Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you're able to join me in your schedule today. We're going to continue on looking at a passage of Scripture in the book of Acts, the 9th chapter, and I'd like to share from the Amplified, reading of verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul, still drawing his breath hard from threatening and murderous desire against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and requested of him letters to the synagogues at Damascus, authorizing him, so that if he found any men or women belonging to the way of life, as determined by faith in Jesus Christ, he might bring them bound with chains to Jerusalem. Now as he traveled on, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And he fell to the ground. Then he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me, harassing, troubling, and molesting me? And Saul said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is dangerous, and it turns out badly for you to keep kicking against the goad, that is, to offer vain and perilous resistance. Trembling and astonished, he asked, Lord, what do you desire me to do? The Lord said to him, But arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Verse 7, the men who were accompanying him were unable to speak for terror, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. So when he came to Damascus, the Lord had spoken to a disciple named Ananias, and he instructed Ananias to go to him. In verse 15, the Lord said to him, Ananias, go, for this man is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the descendants of Israel, for I will make clear to him how much he must be afflicted and must endure and suffer for my name's sake. And so he went and laid his hands upon him. He received his sight, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. So we see that the Lord was speaking to Saul, and he said, It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And as I thought about that, I thought how very fascinating. Here was a man who was very zealous, religiously speaking. He was very strongly convinced and very persuaded in his own mind that he was doing the right thing. He was following the truth, and yet he had an amazing encounter with the living Lord Jesus Christ to show him that he was indeed on the wrong path, that he wasn't pursuing truth, and he was turned around 180 degrees and became an amazing witness for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what's going on here? I want us to look at that phrase, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks or the goad. And the goad was a pointed rod used to urge on an animal, something that would prick like a thorn, something that urges or stimulates into action to spur. Now, Psalm 32 and 9 says here, this is the Lord speaking prophetically, don't be like a senseless horse or mule that has to have a bit in its mouth to keep it in line. So what can we learn just from this one verse of Scripture? The Lord was saying, "Don't. It's hard for you, Saul, to kick against the pricks." Obviously, Paul was committed to truth, but his version of truth as he understood it. What were these goads that the Lord was talking about? Obviously, and it's very apparent, that the Holy Spirit had been dealing with him for quite some time, but in his zealousness and in his, basically his spiritual pride, he was convinced that he was correct. He was a brilliant scholar. He did not need any advice. He was able quite ably and competently to discern what was going on, except he was totally wrong. And perhaps one of those goads was the witness of Stephen. Well, Stephen actually saw a vision of Jesus standing next to the throne of majesty. He stood up, he was standing up, and he said, "Lord Jesus, lay not this sin to their charge." He was standing there. Saul was witnessing all of this. His spirit had to be touched and grieved, but his mind would not allow or admit it. And in fact, the Lord said, "It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Not only was Saul having a very difficult time, just emotionally, and that was probably contributing to his fanaticism and his anger and his rage, that he was actively resisting. To kick implies not only a lack of response and sensitivity, but active resistance. And why would anyone do that? Well, obviously, we are just being objective now. We're looking at Saul because he was deceived. He thought he was right. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you know anybody like that? Or even more uncomfortably, is it possible that you could be that way? I know there are times in my own life, it took practically being knocked off my horse, if you will, to understand and to realize something that God was wanting to get through to me. Obviously, in Saul's case, and in many cases of sincere Christians, they don't believe it's God. Rather, they are holding on firmly to their self-held doctrines, their beliefs, their prejudices. They're just convinced they are right. In fact, the Word of God says they will kill you in thinking they're doing God a service. Scriptures tell us there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. And that's not just referring to soul salvation. God's goading sometimes can be hard because he's trying to turn us on the right path. We're rebuking the devil, and it's actually God trying to get through to us. Beloved, we need to examine ourselves. There is a humility of heart that is essential to discover the things of God. I don't care how long you've walked with the Lord. If there are things that are difficult in your life right now, you need to come to the Lord. I'm not talking about trials and battles, but sometimes that we go through periods of time that we're spiritually, it's a very difficult place. And it might be that God is trying to deal with us, just like he was with Saul. But we have to be willing to come to God in humility and ask him, is there anything that we're being obtuse over, anything that we're just being so set in our ways that we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to convict us? God had been dealing with Saul, and sometimes we can get in such a place that we can have gone through so much that we are convinced that we're right, and we won't listen to reason, we won't listen to advice. And beloved, the most important thing before the Lord is a contrite and a humble heart. He dwells in the high and the holy place, but with him also, who is a humble and a contrite spirit. Are you really happy? What's going on in your life? Well, the hallmarks of the kingdom are righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. God is continually ministering to the inner man. Paul said, "What shall I do, Lord?" And the Lord told him. He said, "I'm asking you to serve me now with the same passion." And of course, he did in a marvelous way. Whatever he had done to persecute the church, he exerted doublefold, if you will, for the cause of the gospel. Psalm 51 and 6 says, "Thou desirest truth in the inner self, honesty from the heart." And so I've just felt to share this because there may be some things in your life that you've just feel like you're at an impasse, you're at a wall, and the Lord may be trying to get through to you. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks, just as it was for Saul. Now, in his case, he was so hard-headed, he had to be knocked from his horse and be surrounded with a brilliant light and was made blind for 3 days so that he could really see. And I pray that in my life and in your life, it's not going to take something quite as dramatic. let me, in the final moments we have together, just take some time to pray together. Father, you see those who may be in such a situation. Lord, you have been trying to get through to them. You've been ministering to their conscience. But Lord, for various reasons, you haven't gotten through to them. And Father, we just have to repent of spiritual arrogance, of spiritual pride, of thinking that we know it all, and be open to the convicting work of your Holy Spirit. Lord, many times you'll use other people to speak to us. Lord, you're even using this broadcast to be able to minister this truth to those who need to hear this revelation from your word. And so, Father, I just lift every person that may be struggling in this area, and I release, Father, the truth of God that will set them free, and Lord, that they will be released, even as Saul was, into the glorious liberty of the sons of God, and be able to be used as you desire for your glory. In the name of Jesus, I praise you and I thank you for it. Amen and amen. Praise God. I'd like to share a letter that's come in recently from a partner writing from Oakland. We've been celebrating this year, our 50th anniversary, Jubilee year. And she writes, "May God bless you much at this 50th year of your ministry. The blessings that I have received through the years since first corresponding with you have been great. I've gone forward with many personal promises from the Lord and many answered prayer. I can see the Lord moving concerning the prayers I've requested, praise the Lord. And when I read the Bible, things are more clear and meaningful than before. May God bless, strengthen, and keep you. I just received your Jubilee booklet and have enjoyed seeing all the pictures from way back." Well, I spent some time creating a 50th anniversary commemorative booklet with photos that go back to the 70s. It's not terribly long, but I spent some time on it with a brief history, and I'd like you to request it. Some of you may be familiar with Brother Glass, some of you may not be, but also I do want to make available his ministry classics. I spent some time putting together a few of his rare KFAX broadcasts that he hadn't recycled, along with some beautiful old hymns God anointed him in a powerful way to sing, and those were recorded on Songs of Praise. So if you would like that anniversary booklet, as well as the ministry classics in CD format, just request them. Praise God. The announcer will give our contact information. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, "May God's best forever be yours," is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.
Oh, behold.